Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Glory, glory, I clap my hands.
welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. Well, we've got a heat wave down here. We've been up about 92 degrees the last couple of days. A lot of us live by the ocean, and we don't have air conditioners. And if this is anything, I would imagine when you get around a mile or two from hell, it's about that hot. Lord have mercy. I want to welcome the listeners tonight around the world and throughout our nation. And I know there's a lot going on in the world and a lot going on in the nation right now. And there's a lot of unhappy people in this country, the United States of America. But we have to remember that these things are in the hands of God Almighty. And the prophecies are being fulfilled from Ezekiel and around the rest of the Bible. And the truth of the matter is, you and I are really powerless to stop the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the only reason why Christ has delayed his coming for the rapture to take the saints off the earth is until the fullness of the Gentiles. And that's when the last Gentile gets saved. And don't be confused with the fullness of the Gentiles with the times of the Gentiles. Now, the times of the Gentiles began in 606 BC when Nebuchadnezzar carried away parts of Israel to Babylon. And that times of the Gentile will end in Jerusalem, when Jerusalem is trodden down by the Gentiles. And so, remember, there was no nation called Israel for quite a while. The Hebrew language is the only language of a world language of a nation that was destroyed that was revived. That's miraculous. And then we have the nation of Israel, 1948, May 7th, 1948, I believe, comes back and it's on the face of the earth. It had to be because the prophecy of the Bible is really a history book, and the history of the world is already written. And people are getting upset about Trumps and getting upset about Clintons, and rightly so, rightly so. But the truth of the matter is, these matters are above and beyond you and I and in the hands of God Almighty. And I'm not saying that as citizens of a country, we don't have a right to express ourselves, especially as Christians. As one great man said, all it needs for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And so good men must stand up, must speak up, but they must speak up with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And so the events of this world, we see Russia coming down now and being involved in the Middle East. And Russia is also involved with Iran. And Iran is Persia and Gog, the northern Russia, Magog. And you find in the Bible Meshech and Tubal. Well, Tobolsky is really Russia's industrial capital, and Rosh Moscow is their political capital. And so Russia must have the alliance with those Arabs of Persia, because that's all the setup in the beginning of the fulfilling of the prophecies. And so the time that you and I are living in, my friends, my brethren, are perilous times. They're going to get worse, not better. And so Jesus Christ is at the door. He's about to return. And so tonight I want to preach a small sermon on that subject, the judgment seat of Christ, because truly the Bible says we all must appear there. And I don't want you to get the judgment seat of Christ confused with the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is the judgment after the tribulation. But the Christians are not going to appear there to be judged. And when you and I as Christians appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we will not appear there to be judged for our sins. For we have past sanctification, present sanctification, and future sanctification through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be judged for our works, what we did, and what we didn't do. And we really, as Christians, have a lot to answer for. We've become stagnant, neither hot nor cold. Too many churches. By churches today, I hear so often that they're teaching and preaching from the pulpit out of books that aren't even Bibles. They'll quote a verse and then they'll open up somebody else's book and read it and teach the congregation. Paul said that there are men teaching doctrines of devils. Where do you think they're teaching them from? They're teaching them from the pulpits. But you and I, one day soon, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone before that tribulation hits. And when we're gone, we're going to appear before Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I would like you to think about this. Tonight, sorry, we got disconnected there. But I want to preach to you. Let's have a prayer, and we'll get right down to the heart of this matter. Holy Father, in the name of our Lord, Jesus the Christ, the Savior, your Son, we come before you tonight as a listening audience. This thy people, Lord, have come to hear your word. Wherever they are scattered abroad, wherever they are in the world, we united through the Holy Spirit of God. Those who are listening, those who will archive. And so tonight, Lord Almighty God, I ask you that you would set me aside and let nothing come from these lips that not belong to you. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:12, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he has done, whether it be good or bad. The Apostle Paul said, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to Christians. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're not a Christian, you're going to appear before another judgment. And if your name's not written in the book of life and you haven't received Jesus Christ, your destiny is hell. And don't think to yourself, oh, a mighty God and a good God would not send anybody to hell. You're wrong. He's a just God, and sin cannot stand in the presence of God. You must be forgiven for your sins, and you cannot pay for your sins. Only Jesus Christ can, and he did that at Calvary. And all he asks is, if you want to be forgiven for those sins, is to receive him, to accept, to repent from your sin, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The we all. Well, we all, Paul's speaking to Christians, to the saved. He's not speaking to the unsaved. In this Christian walk, it amazes me that some of my brethren act as though Paul had said they all, as though they all are not a part of we all. Oh, yeah. And it sounds like we all have some of that going on right around this listening audience tonight. Amen? Well, you might want to let the they all know they all are going to appear with we all. Amen? Because they all and we all are the all, Paul said, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a fearful thing to appear. I hear people say, oh, I can't wait to shake Jesus' hands. I can't wait to hug him. I can't wait. Listen, John the Apostle leaned on the breast of Jesus Christ. He said when he saw him, he fell down as dead. Don't fool yourself. When you see the magnificence and the glory of Jesus Christ in that throne, sitting on that crystal sea with that emerald rainbow around it and those cherubs there, and the seraphims and the holy angels and the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, you're going to hit the floor. Amen. You're going to quake in your spirit. But amen. We belong to him. We are his children. Now the unsaved, well, they have their own judgment, as I said. It's the white throne judgment. And they can find that in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. And if you'll follow me there, I think it's proper in church and in a Bible study to study the Word of God, to read the Word of God. Too many preachers are preaching something else. But Revelation chapter 20, verses number 11 to 15. And this is what it says. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book which was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up. Delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever, rich, poor, black, white, Chinese, Filipino, Mexican, Italian, whosoever, rich, poor, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. And that's an everlasting fire. It's not a dump burning outside of Jerusalem, my friends. Let the Jehovah's Witnesses fool you there. But the unsaved, you're going to appear there. But we all, Paul said, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10. And Paul is speaking to you and I, the Christian. We all won't be judged there at the judgment, at the white throne judgment, but we will be there. Just like we all, the Apostle John wrote about that white throne judgment and said they were judged according to their works. So you see, everyone has a future reservation and a future judgment. We all have a reservation with death, and we all have a reservation with Jesus Christ, unless we should be raptured. So you need to start getting the we all and the they all in the proper perspective, my brethren, because you'll not be excused. It doesn't matter if your family's religious. It doesn't matter who you know, unless you know Jesus Christ is your own personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so you better start counting on your own Christian walk, not the pastors, not the deacons, not the brethrens. You better count on your own. Your mother and father can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Amen. And if you're unsaved, you need to get saved. And if you're saved, you better leave that unsaved man or woman alone that you've been courting, or you're going to have father-in-law trouble. And I ain't talking about in the flesh, my friend. Be not unequally yoked. And I don't know what that's got to do with this sermon, but somebody out there is messing with somebody they shouldn't be, and the Lord put that on my heart. You have no business. Light has no business with darkness. Get back to church. Find a God-fearing man. Find a God-fearing woman. You have no business with the unsaved. You cannot get them saved. Only Christ can. You and I need to know Jesus Christ, and thank God that we do as Christians. But you're going to appear before the judgment of Christ, so you better start counting on your own Christian walk. And yes, I'll teach you as a pastor. I'll preach you, but you got to do your own walking. You'll walk up and down, and you'll walk to the judgment seat of Christ alone. I have to give my own account. Brethren, I can't give account for you. The only thing I can give account for is, did I do the right thing as a pastor in training you up in Christ Jesus? But I have to give my own account for my own life, and you have to give your own account. And if you're unsaved, you need to do something in a hurry. And what if your parents, if your parents are saved? Remember, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Remember that rich man in hell? Jesus Christ never mentions his name, because Jesus Christ doesn't know the unsaved man in hell. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, you remember those 10 virgins in Matthew 25? They said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, verily means truly, I know you not. Imagine that. Jesus Christ, God manifests in the flesh, not knowing someone. And you say, well, Jesus was in the flesh. Oh, yeah? Then how come Jesus knew Nathanael under the fig tree? Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Hey, Christians, you got to wake up today. You cannot wait till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Not too many people are saying, remember in the day. No, brethren, today is that day. Today is the day. You remember that saying, who's your daddy? Well, you better know who's your daddy. If you're saved, you better stop the they all. Because Christian, Paul said, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I cannot emphasize the fulfilling of Scripture before your eyes. And if you can't see that, it's because you don't read your Bible. You have bibliophobia. And any Christian who doesn't read their Bible, there's something wrong with that. Oh, I read it once. You better read it again and again and again. I tell you, I've read it over 21 times from cover to cover, and that's nothing. Every 6 months, you should be able to read that Bible from cover to cover. And as you read and grow, Christ will give you revelation and understanding and knowledge. And he'll teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And you understand what the pastor is saying. And you go into the world and you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being saved is not enough. It's not the end of your Christian walk. Telling people about Jesus and getting them saved, winning them, soul warning them, and winning them to Christ. That's not enough. We must disciple them so that they can go to the world and teach and preach. So if you're saved, you better stop with the they all. Christian, Paul said, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know what you're doing in your lives, but you better remember, in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, bam, and we're gone. And whatever you're doing at that moment, you're going to be caught out in it. Here's the second thing. Before the judgment seat of Christ, when the Apostle John, the disciple of the Lord, whom he loved, saw Jesus Christ in his glorified body, John had this to say, and it's found in Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Bam, he hit the floor. He didn't run up to him. Oh, glorify Jesus. Remember, we had the Last Supper together. All the wonderful things you did. All the prophecies you showed me. I wrote the Gospels as you gave them to me. The Gospel of John, 1, 2, 3, John, the book of Revelation. He didn't do that. He said, oh, Jesus, I missed you. I can't wait to hug you. Hey, he might have been thinking that when he came through that gate. But I'll tell you what. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He fell as dead, Christian. And that wasn't even a judgment. We all, one by one, will face the same risen Savior. Your mother's not coming with you. Your father's not coming with you. Your neighbors are not coming with you. Your lawyer's not coming with you. Your wife is not coming with you. Your husband's not coming with you. Your children are not coming with you. We all will appear, but we will appear one by one. Lord, have mercy. And we'll all face the same risen Savior. And so you need to quit acting like somebody else is going with you. Like somebody's going to be standing by your side, because they're not. You're going to face the judge alone. You will. You will. Listen to me. We're not Roman Catholics. Mary isn't going to save anybody. You're not going to go up there and say, well, I knew your mother. There's none other name given among men under the heavens whereby we must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Listen real well. because I'm trying to help you tonight. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and there were seraphims there, and the posts of the doors moved at his voice. Hey, I'm from California, and I want you to know something. When the posts of the doors start moving, it's a pretty frightening thing. We're in an earthquake. The first earthquake, I came from New England, and the first earthquake I was in, I was sitting on the couch, and I heard a bang, and I felt the couch moving forward and backwards. And I said, what in the world is this? I'd been around tornadoes, I'd been around hurricanes, but I had never experienced nothing like this. And I looked over at my aquarium, and the water was sloshing back and forth. And I said, uh-oh, I have no control. I can't run. I can't hide. I am stuck on this couch. I can't even get in the doorway. And if I did, the posts were moving. Now, from a tornado, I can get underground. And a hurricane, I can get in a shelter. But I don't know where I'm going with this earthquake. And that's where John was. And that's what Isaiah saw. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And there were seraphims there. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and there was smoke. And one seraphim cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm undone. In me he's falling apart. Isaiah needed to change his underwear, his clothing. Too late for the toilet. Woe is me, for I am undone. The problem with Christians today, you don't fear God. But one day he's going to shake this whole planet. Whew, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You've been playing church too long. You've been playing Christian too long. You can fool that preacher. You can fool that deacon. Hey, you can fool your brethren. And you can deceive yourself, the Bible says. You ain't fooling God. What's wrong with you? Lord have mercy. Hey, you are not going to stroll up to the judgment seat of Christ. God's throne is never unprotected. You're just not getting the magnitude of who you are appearing before. Now, I was in trouble in my life, and I appeared before human judges. And that could be a scary thing when somebody else has got your destiny in their hands, and you have no control. When that judge is making a decision what he's going to do with your life, and all you can do is ask for mercy and hope and pray. You know how terrifying it'll be to stand before Jesus Christ and to answer for what you have done, whether it be good or bad? 2 Corinthians 5:10, whether it be good or bad. When Jesus Christ confronted the man possessed, do you know the demons cried out? They said in Mark 1:24, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. John said, I fell down as dead, and so will you and me. Amen. If you're unsaved, you need to get saved. And you can believe this. You don't have to believe in heaven and hell, because there ain't nobody in hell who doesn't believe in heaven right now. Number three, things done according. That's the third point of this sermon. Now, I believe that when the Christian appears before the glorious judgment seat of Christ, Jesus Christ is going to ask the Christian, you Christian, these six questions. And they may not be the only questions, but I believe Jesus Christ is going to ask these six questions. Number one, How hast thou helped him that is without power? Number two, how savest thou the arm that has no strength? Number three, how hast thou counseled him that has no wisdom? Number four, how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? Number five, to whom hast thou uttered words? And number six, and whose spirit came from thee, from you? And your answers and your works will be tried by fire. And I want you to notice something. Four of those six questions begin with the questions of quality. How? Not quantity, but quality. How? And being tried by fire does not mean purgatory. Four of those six questions begin with quality. How? Not quantity, my brethren. Not how many. Listen, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How saveth the arm that has no strength? How hast thou counseled him that has no wisdom? How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Hey, woe to any of you who want to be a preacher or a teacher. You'll certainly face question number four as it is. How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is, preacher? Teacher. And you ask, preacher, how do you know Jesus Christ is going to ask me those questions? Well, my brethren, I'm glad you asked that tonight, because first of all, I didn't make those questions up. You see, you can find all six questions in the King James 1611 Authorized Version of the Bible. And it's not even a version, it's the Bible. You just go over there and you read Job chapter 26, and you'll find all six questions. Because Job is a type of a person going through a judgment. Amen? Now, brethren, here's the fourth thing, whether it be good or bad. So tell me, how would you answer those six questions? How would you give an account for them? You're going to need to have an answer. You will. You will. How hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that has no strength? How hast thou counseled him that has no wisdom? How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Could you give even one answer? Now, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. If God the Father called on the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of his earthly ministry, the record shows the Word of God does not lie. Picture God the Father on his throne. Revelations 4, 3 to 8. And he that sat, are you with me? Picture Jesus here. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw, this is John's account, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Now imagine that. Lightnings. You know what lightning looks like? Thunder crashes, boom, bang. And those elders of 24 sitting there wearing crowns of gold. And thunders and voices and seven lamps of fire burning, which are the seven spirits of God. And a sea of glass like unto crystal before the throne. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, those four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That's all they do. And worthy is the Lamb. And when God asked Jesus Christ the first question that I gave you, the voice of God thundered and all heaven was silent. And the four beasts closed their eyes, I'll bet. Thou, God asked Jesus, how hast thou helped him? That is without power. And that voice thundered to the heavens. How savest thou the arm that has no wisdom? Well, Jesus Christ, Scripture says in Matthew 41:24, and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? Matthew 23:1-3. And the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. This is Jesus speaking. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, Copelands, pagans, Higgins, dollars. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, nor suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? That's what Jesus Christ said. That's how he declared it. Jesus Christ uttered words to the Jews, to the Gentiles, to the big shots, to the little shots, to the rulers, to the slaves, and to the fishermen. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men, to tax collectors. Follow me, Matthew 9:9, to women, ask to women. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven, Luke 7:48, to children. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Matthew 18:2, to soldiers, to enemies. To whom hast thou uttered words? And Jesus would answer, everybody. Everybody, Lord. God, Father, everybody, my Father. And whose spirit came from thee? God would ask from the throne. Jesus would answer, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10:7. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. No matter what, no matter who Jesus Christ spoke to, the spirit that came from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Savior, was, is, and always will be the Holy Spirit, John 3:34. And you may not even realize this, my brethren, but there are three spirits that can come from a man's mouth. So let me clarify that when the Lord asks you whose spirit came from you. Three spirits can come from a man's mouth. The Holy Spirit, which is a divine spirit. The unclean spirit, which is a devilish spirit. And number three, the spirit of man, which is a human spirit. And Jesus Christ warned, you better know what is coming out of your mouth. You will be condemned or justified by your words. And we all, my brethren, we all, not they all, we all, we're going to give an account for every idle word. And Jesus said it in Matthew 12, 36 through 37. My Christian brethren, my friends, you better have an answer to those six questions, or you're going to suffer loss of your rewards. You're going to smell like burnt toast after your works are tried by fire if you don't have an answer. And you say, what are you talking about? We've been judged for our sins. 1 John says, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins while we're on this earth. Apostle Paul said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. But we have rewards. Some of you don't even know what your five crowns are. Oh, they're not literal. Yes, they are literal crowns, because the Bible says in Revelations that we take our crowns off and throw them at the feet of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't earned any crowns, you'll throw nothing. You'll be embarrassed when everybody else is throwing their crowns. Lord have mercy. You know what the Apostle John said? He gave you a warning. He said, look to yourselves. Look at yourself, he said. Mind yourself. Watch yourself. Pay attention to yourself. Examine yourself. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. God has rewards for you, Christian. You remember the parable, and he hid the coins in the ground, didn't do anything with them. The others were faithful. He said, well, then, you know, be the head of these kingdoms. Revelation says we'll serve them as kings and priests. I would imagine kings are going to lead and priests are going to serve. But my Christian brethren, you better have an answer to those six questions, at least those six questions, or you're going to suffer the loss of your rewards that you worked so hard to earn for. You'll smell like burnt toast. He will try our works with fire, not hellfire, not purgatory. There's no such place. Why, when Jesus was talking to Lazarus and the rich man, and he said, dip your little pinky in the water and bring me some water. And Lazarus said, I can't. And it, listen, there's a gulf fixed between hell and where they were. And no one's crossing it until the Lord Jesus Christ raises hell. How about that? Hell's a prison. It's a real place. It's got bars. It's got gates. It's torment. All eternity. For men to mull over their sins and the sin of rejection of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And how many men are in hell today and wishing, if only I had listened, if only I had accepted Christ, I had to do it my way. You're not going to find anybody in hell, my friends, who really thought they'd be there. Oh, many men say, yeah, well, if I go to hell, I'll shake my friend's hands and we'll kick the devil out. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're only saying that because you don't think you're going there. But you are if you're unsaved. Well, it's harsh, Pastor. That's the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. Better that I tell you the truth than lie to you. Brethren, we're going to have answers to those six questions. But we're going to suffer the loss of our rewards. And I want a full reward. I want to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ with a full reward. Wouldn't it be nice to be a friend of God? Abraham, it says, was a friend of God. What a privilege and honor. Imagine when God sees him and says, here comes my friend Abraham. Look out, everybody. Let Abraham through here. Wouldn't it be nice if he said, hey, here's my friend Nathan. Come here, here's my friend John. Here's my friend Sandy. Here's my friend Marilyn. Can't answer all six questions. I'm trying to help you. You need to repent. You need to ask God how best you can serve and witness for him while you are on this earth. Some of you haven't even been baptized yet. You received Jesus Christ, and you have not even been baptized. And I'm not talking about sprinkling. The first act of obedience for a Christian after he receives or she receives Jesus Christ is to get baptized. That is a public profession of the faith in Jesus Christ. Personal identification of the Lord. Death, burial, and resurrection. Under the water, death. Out of the water, life, resurrection. Under the water, burial. Death, burial. Out of the water, resurrection. Down here in Imperial Beach, California, my brethren, we baptize right in the ocean. We go right down by the pier. We go to the lifeguard station and say, okay, tell us where the riptides are so no, we don't lose anybody. And we go right out in the water in front of hundreds of people. We don't do it for a show. That's the body of water that's closest to us. And a lot of the people down in Imperial Beach, California, live in a beach community. And when they receive Jesus Christ, they want to be baptized right there in the ocean in their own home. And we take them down and we baptize them in the water. And we're not ashamed to go out there. They have our baptismal robes on and we pray. And we go down and we baptize them. And the public on the pier, hundreds of people are there sometimes in July, in June, in August. And people are from all over the nation visiting this part of the country. And they have the eyewitness account of a baptism, a true and real baptism. Some people have never even seen one. And we put them under the water, signifying the death and burial of Jesus Christ. And we bring them out of the water. Following the commandment of God, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Public profession and witness. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And the people looked and they say, hey, that's a baptism going on. And it makes them think of Jesus. We're not there to show off. We're there to baptize. But your Christian life is a testimony. And if you can't answer all six questions, you got to repent. You better check your heart of hearts. You need to ask God how best you can serve and witness for him. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Hebrews 12:21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Revelations 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. You will appear, and it will be like no other courtroom you ever saw in your life, like no other judge that you have ever stood before. The Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, that's a judge's robe, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as the flame of fire, like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. How hast thou helped him that is without power? How saveth the arm that has no strength? How hast thou counseled him that has no wisdom? How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Brethren, Are your answers ready? We're very near. We're very near to the judgment seat of Christ. We are very near. And you say, oh, they've been saying that for generations. My friends, all you need to do is read Matthew 24. And the shadow of those things are falling upon the world as you and I speak like never before. And if you forgot about the fear of God, you better get it in your heart, because we're about to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What a terrible, terrible scene that'll be. But we'll survive it. Those of us who have rewards and those of us who don't will still survive. We don't lose our souls, but we lose our works. Wood, hay, and stubble, those are dead works. Gold and silver, amen, precious stones, those are the Christians you have won. Precious stones. Paul said he'd begotten you like a lively stone. Does your crown have any stones in it? How many souls have you brought to Christ? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those are supposed to be words of comfort. Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these. If you're not comfortable with that, it's because you know you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and you haven't done anything for Christ. Going to church and tithing doesn't make you a great Christian. Going to church every Sunday and listening to the preacher and leaving without the message touching your heart. Many of you have left churches. You've switched churches lately and in the past. And it's not the first time. You have itching ears. You want to be patted on the head because you think church is the place where you get a fuzzy wuzzy every Sunday and go home. You won't stand for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you won't obey the word of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. But oh, how wonderful to know that we are in an age right now where it's winding down. And when that trumpet sounds and he calls us up, what a glorious day it'll be. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready to? I ask the people all the time. I say, listen, if the Christian police came to your house to arrest you for being a Christian, would they be able to find enough evidence in your home to even prove you're a Christian? Do you have your answers? Lord, have mercy. Don't say that I came and heard Dr. Ventura preach and he didn't tell me anything. Don't say that. Listen, I'm trying to help you. Six questions. Think about them. How hast thou helped him that has no power? How did you help him that had no power? Many poor people have no power. Sick people, elderly, weak. How savest thou the arm that has no strength? How hast thou, how did you counsel him that had no wisdom? How did you plentifully declare the thing as it is? That means to name sin as sin. Name it and claim it. I own it. I name it in Jesus' name. I'm going to have that boat. That's not what he's talking about. He wants you to declare the thing as it is. Whom hast thou uttered words to? Who you been talking to? Who did you tell these right words? The thing as it is, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that men will go to hell. Some Christians are afraid to tell people they would go to hell. Oh, we can't approach them with that. Hey, listen, you better tell them now because you can't tell them at the white throne judgment. Came from you. Are you using one of those new Bibles? Because they're not really Bibles. And I assure you, that's not the Spirit of God in an NIV. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, we've done whole programs on these new Bibles. In the NIV, David doesn't even kill Goliath. But you don't know that because you don't read your Bible. In the Gospel of John, they get rid of Judas before the Lord's Supper. But you wouldn't know that because you don't read your Bible. In an NIV, they call Lucifer the morning star. In Isaiah 12:14 or 14:12, they throw him out of heaven. Oh, thou Lucifer, art thou fallen from heaven? It doesn't say that in NIV. It says, oh, thou morning star. But the book of Revelation says that Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. The NIV threw Jesus Christ out of heaven. Well, that's not what they meant. That's what they wrote. How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? And whose spirit came from thee? Well, whose spirit came from them? It's not the Spirit of God. Goodness, an NIV Bible is 60,000 words less than your King James. Oh, but pastor, they're so easy to read. Oh, you silly person. Don't you know that the King James Bible is written at a fourth or fifth grade education level? Oh, those these and thous are so hard. Oh, really, then why are you singing the these and thous in your hymns and not preaching them? But you'll sing them. For thine is the kingdom, and thou art the Lord. Well, you're just singing them. Don't give me that nonsense. Whoever's teaching you that stuff is deceiving you. And you tell your pastor, my phone number's area code 203-240-0377. Let me give that to you again. Area code 203-240-0377. And if they're using those modern Bibles, then I want you to know something. They're in heresy, and you tell them Dr. Ventura said they're a heretic, and they're preaching from a heretical Bible. And if you're attending that church, you're being taught by a heretic, and that makes you a heretic. It's apostasy. Oh, well, it's so much easier to read. Hey, listen, what they're really saying is that you don't have the Word of God. Nobody does. But we have the best we could find in manuscripts. No! God preserved the line of manuscripts. He said so in Psalms 12. His word was tried seven times. There's seven different translative steps to the King James Bible. There were seven world languages to the English. He said, I will preserve them. Thou shalt preserve them. I want to go there before we close out. Come on. Come with me, please. Come with me to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Read it for yourself. And then go check your new Bibles. See, the trick is to get the young men into the seminaries and to teach them from the false manuscripts, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus, and the Alexandrius. And some of them disagree with each other over 2,000 places just in the four Gospels. They want to call them the best there is. And so they teach our young men in those seminaries to read those manuscripts, and then they tell them, Well, now let's compare that with the Textus Receptus of the King James, and that's why the King James is wrong. Well, you educated that man out of the belief in the Word of God. But God's going to get you when you get there. Don't worry about it, my friend. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now listen, thou shalt keep them. What are them? The words of the Lord. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has preserved. How could God tell you to obey his word and not give it to you, silly people? Thou shalt keep them, the words. You know what that new NIV and them other new Bibles have done? They have changed the word, thou shalt keep them, the words, to us, Israel. So now he's not preserving his word, but he's preserving Israel. Well, who doesn't want you to know the word of God is preserved on the earth? You better watch what you're declaring to the people of your church, pastor, preacher. How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? And whose spirit came from you? Those Bibles have a copyright on them. RSV, RV, NWT, NIV, NASB, New King James. They all have copyrights. That means they can't copy the same thing, so no two Bibles can be the same. Your King James Bible, the authorized version, the KJV Bible does not have a copyright, and God made it that way so anybody could copy it and spread the word of God. You could be arrested and charged with a crime of copyright infringement if you copy over so many hundred out of an NIV. Or you didn't know that. You think God's in that thing? Come on, people. Wake up, my Christian brothers. You're in a spirit of slumber. How are you going to answer God's question? You say, oh, pastor, you're pretty hard. Hey, listen, you think I'm hard. Where do you get up there, Lord Jesus? Think that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on that cross, the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing from when he was started his public ministry and probably before that one day he will be beaten beyond recognition, nailed mercifully to a cross, have a crown of thorns rammed into his head, beaten, spit at, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he did it for you and me, and you don't think that he did it so that these preachers can corrupt his word. Whew, I don't want to be 1,000 miles in heaven near the Holman people, the foundation. We're putting out these new Bibles. Are you kidding me? Nelson Publishing. And it's partly a failure of our own Christian sound doctrine churches, failure to preserve the word from among them, and be ye separate. There is no excuse for any Christian man or woman, boy or girl, to be under the ministry of somebody using a fake Bible. You can justify it as a teacher. You could justify it as a preacher. You could justify it any way you want. It's like saying I'm going to stay in a satanic ritual because I might win somebody to Jesus. Come ye out from among them. How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? How hast thou counseled him that has no wisdom? Whoever's using those Bibles doesn't have wisdom. It's up to you who have wisdom to counsel them. And after the first and second admonition, if they reject your counsel, count them as a heretic, Paul said, and get on down the road. I'm tired of preaching to people who don't want to hear the word of God. I'm going to find somebody who does. We are too close to the rapture. There's an urgency. If you are led of the Holy Spirit, you must feel the urgency. We must preach the gospel now. Because once the rapture happens, it's too late. The world is spiraling. It's not evolution, it's devolution. And we're going to appear before that judgment seat of Christ. We have been called as ambassadors for Christ to represent our country, which is heaven. We are sojourners here. Too many people are too comfortable. You'll give up some things, but you won't give all to Jesus. You'll go out when it's convenient, but if your family has something to do, it's a little too important. We'll just, Jesus can wait. No excuses. We're not going to have any excuses. We all must appear. Not they all. We all. You and I. Now listen, if you're an unsaved person, you've been listening to this broadcast, you need to repent of your sins. You need to receive Jesus Christ today. It will save your soul. You are on a path to hell. The life you have lived, the life you think that is good, is not. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You must repent. Turn from that life. Turn from the bottle. Turn from the drugs. Turn from that life. Turn from the pornography. Turn from that life. Turn from the gambling. Turn from the smoking. Turn from all that stuff. And say, you know what, Lord? I am a sinner. And I admit it. And I believe that you died for my sins on the cross. And that you were buried. And the third day you resurrected. You are now on the right hand of the Father. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. Area code 203-240-0377. Or you can email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. ventura.peter77@gmail.com. And I will send you some literature that will help you. And in the meantime, find the King James Bible Believing Church. You'll get blessed, and you will find the power of God there. Let's pray. Holy Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we thank you, God, for this message. May it touch hearts and change minds. May it resonate every moment of every day for the rest of our lives, Lord. Lord, may we please you on this earth and when we appear before you at the judgment seat of Christ, for we all have that appointment. I thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless this listening audience and the special people who have asked for special prayers. The church here, the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, California. Bless this church, Lord. We are the stronghold of Imperial Beach in Southern California. The most southwest city, Lord, your stronghold. Bless this church and the many sound doctrine, Bible-believing preachers and teachers in this world. Bless our nation, Lord, and forgive this nation its wicked sins. And help us, God, to follow you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. I want to thank my wife, Marilyn, for all she does to support me here in IB. Scott Ruff, my associate pastor, deacons and ushers, Judith. These people need to be thanked. They need to be honored. Kitty and Fred, Sister Joan, Angelique, Scott's wife, JP, junior usher, he's 15 years old. He's the usher, 8 years old, junior usher. Leads the church and singing, and sing specials. Savannah and Victoria, 4 years old. Our greeter meets people at the door and says, welcome to Bible Believers Baptist Church. thank you for coming. Lord bless you. 4 years old. What's going on in your churches? Pray for us. God's doing something down here. And if you're in the area, come and visit us. We meet at the Boys and Girls Club at 5:30 to 6:30 on Sunday nights on Encino Avenue, right here in Imperial Beach. I want to bless Nathan, because Nathan is our sound man, and I am in the back. They're there. You don't hear them often, but they bless us with this program. I'm a guest. This is a guest spot. And if you choose to support this program, send something to Nathan, Blog Talk Radio. Find his email and send something to him. If you have a message for us, send it. If you want a copy of this program, email me. I'll send it to you free. I've never asked for money. I'm not going to. The Lord put something on your heart. Amen. God bless you, listening audience. Nathan, all to you.
I feel like going on.